My message this morning is entitled Drowning Out the Isms. So every once in a while we get to thinking a little too highly of ourselves. When we do, we fall victim to what I call the isms. Most of us see ourselves as completely normal. So sometimes we try to normalize the rest of creation in relationship to ourselves. And I guess normalizing things to ourselves seems to be a very human thing to do. It's not unusual for folks to want other people to look, act, talk, think just like them, which, of course, can and will never be the case. That means that there are going to be differences in the world, even though some folks think everyone should be just like them. The bigger problem comes when we think if they aren't just like us, something must be wrong with them. Or even worse, if they aren't just like us, they are somehow less than us, not as important as us, somehow beneath us. What that looks like, how it is played out in our day-to-day lives is what I call the isms. Classism, racism, ethnocentrism, sexism, weightism, ableism, ageism, lookism, heterosexism, capitalism, anti-Semitism, faithism. You get the idea. It's something that we've seen all too recently in the news in Charlottesville, and sadly, it ended in violence and death. Now, equally as sad is how frequently the results of isms is the death of people, sometimes en masse, be it Native Americans, the Jewish population in Nazi Germany, Darfur, the list could go on and on. Our isms are, they are a cancer to the human race. What we see in today's reading, among other things, is a commentary on isms. You see, this woman at the well is a Samaritan. And Samaritans, while they were related to the Jews, they have their own distinct religion. And they've even intermarried. So the Jewish folks of the day actually considered them a corruption of the Jewish faith. They were victims of racism, ethnocentrism, faithism, and sort of a internalized anti-Semitism. What we have here is an ism schism in the Jewish faith. A division based on biases. This is a great story, one which most Christians believe they know and understand well. But let's revisit the story and try to look at it as if for the first time. So there she was, a Samaritan woman, who's part of a people who had intermarried and so were actually considered sort of mongrels by the Jews. And she had a questionable past, and just as bad, at least during that day and age, believe it or not, she was a woman. None of that mattered to Jesus. Jesus did not tell her that she was wrong or a bad person and that the Jews were right. Now, if you look at our modern politics or even modern televangelists, you would think that that might have been exactly what Jesus would have done, but it wasn't. Jesus dealt with her thirst. And not a physical thirst, but first the thirst inside of her for things to be better, for things to be different. The thirst inside of her to be treated with justice. He didn't judge her because of any perceived sin, any of the isms that the world was trying to stick on her. In spite of fatigue, in spite of barriers and rules and traditions and isms, divisions of all kinds, Jesus gave the woman at the well water. He called it living water. The kind that brings life back to you. The kind that drowns out isms. The kind of water that makes you want to run out into the world, just like the woman at the well did, and say, come and see, I have met someone who knows who I am, who I really am, warts and all. And in spite of it, all the isms that the world hurls at me, He offers me living water. This will change everything. Come and see. Even Dr. Martin Luther King thirsted for living water to drown out the isms, saying, I am thirsting for a time when all people will be free. If we take the teachings of Jesus seriously, then we too should thirst to drown out the isms, thirst for the love of God, and not just to drink it in for ourselves, but to share it with the world. Thirst for living water, water that can not only drown out the isms of the world, the isms that separate and divide us, but that can bring us back together. We are to be thirsty to bring the love of God to our communities. We are to be thirsty to be a cup of cold water for someone in need. We are to thirst to be welcoming to those who need a church home. We are to thirst to create a place of worship big enough for all who want to come in through those doors. We are to thirst to be God's hands and feet and arms of comfort when someone is grieving. The only thing that's holding us back is our isms. And yes, we all have isms. Of course we all have isms. While they may not always be as clearly defined as the ones in our story today, we have isms. You remember them. I've listed them for you. Classism, racism, ethnocentrism, sexism, weightism, ableism, ageism, lookism, heterosexualism, faithism. We have isms. We have isms that separate us from each other and from those whom the world has abandoned. And I ask you, who is more thirsty than those whom the world has abandoned and marginalized? I'll tell you who. Us. The ones who fling isms like so many water balloons. Maybe not more thirsty, but certainly as thirsty. Like the Samaritan woman, somewhere deep inside of ourselves, we thirst. Somewhere deep inside, we thirst to end the ism schism, the divisions based on biases that separate us from each other. We are thirsty. We want the living water to drown out the isms of the world. Jesus, tired from his journey, his ministry, his miracles, he sits down at the well. He looks into the eyes of this woman who was just going through another ordinary day. He looks at her. He knows her. And he says, "Give me a drink." In that, she becomes the inviter, a sharer of good news, and an evangelist. She becomes the one who hauled the water up. And all too frequently, we miss the opportunity to look into the eyes of those we see through our isms and say, "Give me a drink." He reached out to this woman, considered by many to be unclean. She had been the victim of people flinging isms at her like water balloons so many times in her life. He reached out to her, not to shame her, but to empower her, to transform her life with the living water, and at the same time to receive a drink from her. In recognizing the value of a person marginalized by so many isms, Jesus begins to teach us how we too can begin to drown out the isms of this world. The truth is, we are all the Samaritan woman. She thirsted for someone to see past the isms and see her worth and her value. We thirst for a church in which energies are directed not at people's isms, be they gender, race, sexual orientation, marital status, social status, ability, disability, but where the energies are directed towards drowning out the isms. And to do it, We have to be the kind of place where people see us and say, "Now that's the kind of place that knows who I really am, warts and all, and in spite of it all the isms that people hurl at me, it offers me water. It says, come in and be loved." As in so many of the gospel stories about the kingdom of God, today's reading radically reverses conventional human wisdom and power relations. See, Jesus not only engaged a unclean, ostracized foreign woman, Jesus, he cast this hated outsider, this victim of isms, as the hero of the story. He cast her as the first evangelist in the New Testament. As she goes out and tells others, come and see, I found the living water which will drown out the isms that separate and divide us. And in doing so, Jesus warns us of a religiosity that turns a deaf ear to the disenfranchised. Warns us of making Christianity a smug, exclusionary, and self-serving faith. Warns us of the dangers of flinging isms at others like so many water balloons. Yet Christians do it every day. We see it. Just read the headlines. Many Christians continue to practice the ism schism, biases that divide rather than unite. Many Christians continue to sell fear and hate over love and grace. They plant that horrible life-taking weed in the soil of their biases, and they water it with mistrust, misunderstanding, and misgivings. But we are to bring living water to the victims of isms, to drown out isms, including the ones that we ourselves may sometimes fling at others. Living water. Life-giving water. Not life-taking. We are to not only empower the victims of isms, but just as Jesus did with the woman at the well, we are called to ask them for a drink, to receive from them, to be fed by them, allowing who they are, their culture, their faith, their experience, to broaden us and give us a fuller experience of the kingdom of God. After all, if it was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for those of us trying to follow His teachings.